I want to speak to you this morning again from the book of Romans. All of you that have been here for the last 6 months or so know that I've been preaching from the book of Romans, and I'm going to continue to do so a while longer. Every time I read through the book, I just find another text and I think, oh, we've got to look at that, and I want to read that and study that and preach from that. And this morning I want to preach to you from a chapter in the book of Romans that I believe holds some of the most beautiful promises for the people of God. I think that Romans chapter 8 has some promises that every Christian ought to know and every Christian ought to have deep in their heart, whether they memorize it and they can quote it. You know, what I mean is to have it deep in your heart and to remember it and to sense it and feel it. And so I want to speak to you from Romans chapter 8 this morning, verses 26 through 39. If you would go on to that next slide, Dan. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And I'm going to read beginning at verse 26 of the Bible promises of God. In the same way, the Spirit helps us. Look for the promises of God in this passage. I'm going to speak about five of them. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that we cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any power, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I believe that we find in these verses, in this reading, some of the most encouraging and wonderful promises that God gives to us. If somebody would say to me, Pastor, tell me some promises of God that are meaningful, they come from everywhere in Scripture. They come from the Old Testament and the New Testament. They come from the words of Jesus, and they come from the prophets, and they come from the Gospels and the letters, and they come from everywhere. But Romans chapter 8 to me is like especially the second half of the chapter, but also in the first part of the chapter, is just a chapter of beautiful promises. I believe that these promises are as real today as they were in the first century. And I also believe that God can speak to us through these promises. And there might be a promise that's in this chapter that God can help you with and encourage you with about. I have said before, but all throughout the Bible, God speaks to us about different places and different words and different texts. There may be a place in the book of Romans that especially has resonated with your spirit and God's spoken to you, or God has given you something you need from the book of Romans in this place, and maybe another chapter for someone else. But I want to say today that I'm sure there are people here this morning that the promises in chapter 8 are very important to at this time in your life and wherever you're at in your life. The context of chapter 8 is, how do God's people make it through the challenges of life? How do we make it when things get tough? How do we deal with circumstances that are painful and we don't know what to do with them? Paul seemed to consider in this chapter, chapter 8, people around him and maybe his own life when he was dealing with some very difficult circumstances and he was under pressure. He was dealing with some life issues that were very difficult and challenging to him physically and emotionally and spiritually. And so he writes this beautiful chapter of promise to the church to help us to know what to do when we face the challenges of life. How do we keep a strong faith when it just seems like there's a wall of things things that happen to us, things that are painful, things that are challenged, things that undermine our relationship with God or even undermine a sense of faith that God is real. What happens when we're under the gun? What happens when it seems like we're going to give up? What happens when we don't feel like God is there anymore? What does God say to us then? Well, I think Romans chapter 8 is a response of the heart of God of what He says to us when we go through difficult circumstances. I know that the Apostle Paul, I think I said it like this before, he didn't grow up in a Kleenex box. Everything wasn't great for Paul. In fact, this man who wrote this book lived in the crucible of pressure. He lived under all kinds of problems and discouragement and a physical need that he had and people that didn't like him and people that tried to take his life. And Paul was beaten, as my mom would say, from pillar to post. And yet he writes these words of promise of where God is in the midst of his problems and his challenges. I want to say to you that some of you don't have lives that are very easy. Some of you have difficult things going on right now in your life. I just want you to know that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans can relate to you because he also had challenges in his life, and he gives us some counsel and some words that can help us also to deal with things when our faith may be under attack. And so he writes to help us when we hurt, to hold on when we're under pressure, and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what goes on in our lives, God, if we're His children, if we live in Christ, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God knows where we're at and He wants to help us. In fact, there are many promises in chapter 8 that reinforce and remind us and say in different ways the promise that God is with us in every circumstance of our life. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you can have a faith that goes deep enough that no matter what comes your way in circumstances, you can know that God is with you. You don't have to doubt that. You don't have to wonder about that. You can wonder about a lot of things, but you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you. Paul knew that for some people, this is the hook of discouragement and attack that he will take. I've said it several times in the book of Romans. There are different hooks that Satan uses to discourage people. For some people, it might be a particular temptation. For others, it might be bitterness from the past. For others, it might be a financial problem or a medical problem or a broken marriage, a broken relationship. Satan knows where each one of us are vulnerable. He knows where we can be discouraged and where we can easily be knocked off track and how we can get our minds or our hearts on things that aren't healthy for us. And we can kind of begin to go down this road of unhealthiness emotionally and spiritually and keep us from being effective, strong Christians. And so Paul writes to people that may struggle in this area being discouraged, and these great promises are given to help us. He writes that our faith will be strong, can be strong when we encounter times of loneliness or when we're afraid or when we're discouraged. The context of these words are for the overwhelmed and the pressures of life. He gives us a series of promises to strengthen our faith, and each one of them, the foundation of every one of these promises is the same. God says, I'm with you. God says, I know you, and I will be with you. I want to name five promises from these verses this morning. The first promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit. God promises that no matter what goes on in your life, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, God gives you the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wonder if you're a Christian if the Holy Spirit is there. You don't have to beg the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and your life. You don't have to say, God, I don't think I've been good enough to have your Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, a Christian, God promises that He sends the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life and to be in your heart and your spirit. That doesn't mean that you'll hear Him, because your ability to hear the Holy Spirit will depend on your faith, will depend on your responsiveness, and depend on your trust in God. But He promises the availability of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I want you to know one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to be your helper. He's to come alongside you in your circumstances and be with you and help you in the midst of your circumstances. You notice this verse doesn't say the Holy Spirit's going to come and fix all your circumstances. The Holy Spirit's going to come and clear up all your legal problems or your relationship problems or your medical problems. God never promises that in this life. There is something about glorification when we step into eternity that God's going to make all things new. But until then, there's no promise that that's going to happen. But He does promise that His Spirit will be with you. And if His Spirit is good enough for you, He can help you in whatever the circumstances that you have. God promises to you and to me His Spirit to help us when we need it. He is present. He is watching. He is perceptive. The Holy Spirit also is described in this verse as interceding for us. There's something about the Spirit of God that is at work in your life, in this life, on the earth, in this place. The Holy Spirit is working in the lives of people. The second promise is that God is always working in our lives. God is always working in our lives. Look at verse 28. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." I love this verse, and I want to highlight four phrases from the first. The first one is, we know. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's working, that God's not left you alone, that God is aware of your circumstances. He never quits. He never stops. He never sleeps. Tell you something else about God is He knows the future. We don't know the future. We know the past, or we think we know the past. We know a version of the past. We don't even know what's going to happen today, and we don't know the future, but God does. And God is always working in our lives. He's always working in our circumstances. Let's look deeper at this promise. It says, we know. You can be sure, based on who God is, that He's working. That in all things, God works. It doesn't say here that God only works in the good circumstances of our lives, or when things are going great, or when relationships are perfect, or we have the right job, or we have health. No, it doesn't say that God works only in the good thing. Some people who read this verse want to read it like that. We know that God works the good for all of us. God works everything out to the good in part of our life. That's not who God is. You might want that kind of God, but that's not who God is. It says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. God is not surprised.